right, thanks. So my name is Leah Canlins. I am currently a master's student at the University of Western Australia, and I have Tim and Di as wonderful supervisors, as well as Matt Burt in the back. And this year we are wrapping up our master's research, and today I'm going to be presenting on some research that myself and another master's student, Michael Taylor, have been working on. And I'm going to be talking about ontogenetic shifts and habitat associations of a key commercial fishery species. So our study site, me and Mike, we focused in the Dampier Archipelago region. We were looking at 139 stereobrub deployments that were already gone over before, and they ranged in depth from about 1 meter to 56 meters. We followed a rough transect sort of sampling four sites of the Dampier Archipelago, and then you can see sort of continuing further offshore into that blue shaded area, which is where the Pilbara demersal scaled fish fishery is. And we were really excited to see what our research might pull out, because pilot data from the Department of Fisheries sort of showed these high recruit numbers in these areas that were just adjacent to that fishery area offshore. So the species that we focused on is Lethrinus punctulatus, and it's the most commercially targeted species in the Pilbara, and that's what I'm going to be focusing the rest of my presentation on. Lethrinus punctulatus, or the blue-spotted emperor, is considered an indicator species for the Pilbara demersal scale fish fishery. Historically, it's had the highest annual catch from both the trap and trawl fishery. And the life history characteristics of this species is that it has a high population production, which means that it has this early lifespan, it has a low maturation and a short lifespan, early maturation, and a low spawning period. It also has a limited geographic range. Basically, it's endemic to Northwest Australia, and this limited geographic range might suggest that it is vulnerable as a juvenile. So we wanted to sort of explore these questions of if these juvenile punctulatus are restricted to these nearshore sargassum habitats. And we also wanted to go into this idea of an ontogenetic shift. So is there an ontogenetic shift? That's what we're going to talk about for a little bit. Is there this link between the nearshore population that we can see of punctulatus juveniles and the commercial fishery further offshore? Now, we could spend hypothetically, if we had the money, a lot of money looking into the genetics of these populations to answer this question of an ontogenic shift of one shallow population moving further offshore. However, we can see that by monitoring any changes in the size distribution using the ability of stereobrubs, we could potentially use this observational monitoring of the size distribution to have this be an affordable starting point instead of looking at ontogenetic shifts. So we looked at the influence of depth and habitat on the size distribution of Lethrinus punctulatus, and we have an importance plot here, which are these colorful squares, and the vibrancy and strength of the color is an indication of the strength of the model itself. And so we have size bins across the top. We have our smallest size bin and then our largest size bin on the bottom. And we can see here that depth is an important predictor for both the small Lethrinus punctulatus and the larger size class as well. And then our general additive models, our GAMs here, basically show that our small Lethrinids prefer the shallow water. If you go all the way to the bottom, our large punctulatus prefer the deep water. And there's sort of this transition in between with the GAMs. So we can also see this transition in size distribution of these punctulatus moving offshore just simply by mapping the abundance of of the Lethrinus punctulatus that was sampled. And so we're going to progress through our four different size bins of punctulatus And starting with this smallest size class, so this is everything that was a juvenile. We can see that these four sites that we studied in Day of the Archipelago, this site here is actually Eagle Hawk. It's kind of obscured right now by the abundance of juvenile punctulatus. And then we have Enderby, Goodwin, and Rosemary, and those were the four nearshore sites. So with the smallest size class of juvenile punctulatus, they're pretty much just around this nearshore area. If we go up the next size class, we can see again that they're in these nearshore areas at the sites that we sampled, but you can sort of see some movement going up that transect. We go to the next size class. That's where things really get exciting. So you can see that in the second to largest size class, there is this movement offshore of the abundance of punks that we were able to sample. They're still there in the shallows. And then in our last size class, the largest punctulatus, we can see that the majority of them have moved offshore in those deeper waters. Okay, so we know where the small juveniles are now, but can we come up with an index of recruitment? And that is the million-dollar question. So everyone's favorite fishery, the Western rock lobster, has been really successful at coming up with an index of recruitment, looking at the annual average pluralist counts that they do, which is, this is just a graph taken from one of those. So the Western rock lobster's index of recruitment is able to preempt any, preempt the recruitment and sort of adjust catch efforts based on that about 4 years in advance. And there is potential to do something similar with juvenile punctulatus using stereobrubs to measure the cohorts of juveniles. Okay, so we know that the punks are in these shallow nearshore areas, but we need to determine the sampling time required to achieve a strong model of habitat association. And so this will, if we can get the strong model of habitat association, then that will indicate the sampling time that we could use for this cost-effective index of recruitment. And so we're looking here at an importance plot just of juvenile punctulatus. And we can see we had these 60-minute deployments, and each row is a 5-minute sample. And we can see here that macroalgae was a very strong, punctulatus were very strongly associated with macroalgae in the first 5 minutes. But when you go to 10 minutes, the model actually flips to this negative association that punctulatus juveniles have with sessile invertebrates. And sessile invertebrates, we actually grouped octocoral, stony coral, and sponges. All right, so this suggests that suggests two things. So the first thing is that with these habitat associations, we're able to see that this models where juvenile punctulatus basically aren't found, which suggests that they are not found where their potential predators are, which makes sense as a juvenile because you want to maximize the amount of food you can get, and you want to maximize the chance of not getting eaten by a predator. And so after 10 minutes, the model doesn't decrease in strength very much. And so this suggests that 10 minutes would be a cost-effective deployment time if we wanted to develop an index of recruitment for Lethrinus punctulatus. We could sample in these habitats where we know they are most likely to be found. All right, and then as far as management implications, there is this trend in regional coastal development in the Pilbara with ports that are being opened and actively used for natural resource extraction and shipping. And so the importance of macroalgae as a crucial nursery habitat has kind of been highlighted here with the importance that it plays for juvenile punctulatus, and which is important for the recruitment of this key fishery species. And really, now more than ever, we can see here this catch per unit effort graph that we have of our Leptorhynchus punctulatus. And while the stock is stable, catch per unit effort has been decreasing for over a decade. And if it's possible to develop this cost-effective index of recruitment, then we could potentially help Department of Fisheries and the stock in the Pilbara demersal scale fish fishery recover a little bit. Okay, and that's everything.
Yeah. So is there any inshore fishing pressure on the species?
So there is some recreational fishing in the area, which has kind of been touched on a little bit, but over in the Dampier Archipelago, the recreational fishing isn't as much of a pressure as further offshore, and the sizes that we're seeing near shore aren't even typically the legal size that you'd be able to extract them in the first place.
I wanted to ask if you could just remind us what those different areas were in the catch per unit effort graphs, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, yes. So I didn't include the actual. So this is taken from the trawl fishery. And so the Pilbara demersal scalefish trawl fishery is divided into 5 different areas. And so I don't actually have a map of each of those 5 trawling areas. But trawling occurs past the 50 meter isobath line, and so it's basically just further offshore.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you.